Hello, it's Maria Boynton reporting, talking to Tanisha Tilson, the mother of Shadley Tilson. How you doing?
I'm well, and you? Thank you.
Your 22-year-old son was arrested on March 2nd, and about 10 days later, he was dead. And you received an update today from the GBI. What do you want people to know about Shadley?
That he was a college student who was studying criminal justice. He wanted to be a paralegal and go on to be an attorney. He was a business owner, and he worked for the State House in Providence, Rhode Island, prior to coming back to Georgia when his father had the stroke. He came home to help me take care of his father. So he left school and left his job to come home and help take care of his dad.
So what does that tell you about the kind of person your son was?
He was very selfless. He always put us first. Always put us first. No matter what it was, he would drop whatever income for any one of us.
Your Mother's Day, I'm sure it was heart-wrenching.
Yes, it was. And my birthday was the week before. And, I mean, words can't even explain. I spent Mother's Day crying. And we also spent Mother's Day coming back from our home state, Providence, Rhode Island. We flew back in last night. So it was, you know, it was bittersweet.
So you were putting his remains to rest?
We had him cremated, and we brought his ashes with us to Providence and then brought them back with us.
Shadley was in Rhode Island going to school, came home because his father had a stroke to help you. We've heard you tell that story. And you moved to Georgia, what, 9 years ago?
10 years ago.
10 years ago. Your situation now, this having happened to your son, your family, how long will y'all be here? Will you stay here?
No. We're only here for Shadley. And in fact, none of us wanted to leave yesterday. We left because we had to attend the meeting at the GBI. But once this is over, we are leaving the state of Georgia.
Ma'am, thank you.
Thank you as well, Maria.
I'm Maria Boynton reporting. Mr. Ronnie Tilson, grandfather of Shadley Tilson. Sir, when the GBI told you guys today about blood clots, things of that nature, with no final cause, according to them, as to your grandson's death, what do you think about that?
I think it's a bunch of BS. You know, it's just another smoke and mirror routine that they're used to doing. Because, you know, how do you take a healthy 22-year-old young man coming to the jail, and then he ends up dying 10 days later from blood clots on the lung? So that means somebody had to be neglecting him. You know, they talking about he dehydrated. So that means he must have not been eating to be dehydrated, because, you know, this is not the first go round with me. You know, like, I've done time, I've been in county jail, I've been in state prison. And so when it comes to the things that they do, it do not surprise me.
Mr. Ronnie Tilson, grandfather of Shadley Tilson. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Hey, everybody. It's Maria Boynton. I am talking today to attorney Mally Davis, a well-known civil rights attorney right here in Atlanta, Georgia. How you doing?
It's a tough day today.
We've been with you through a lot of cases. I mean, we're talking about police shootings of young black men. It's run the gamut. This latest situation, the latest case that we're talking to you about, is that of Shadley Tilson. Everyone, we've been bringing you his mother's story about her son, 22 years old, arrested, placed in the Rockdale County Jail. What do we know about what happened after Shadley was placed in the jail?
What we know now is that we have been able to interview a number of witnesses who say that he was physically assaulted in some way by detention officers. And these, again, this is based on our investigation. So that's one component to what we think is a larger narrative. The other piece is that he was placed in solitary confinement and apparently placed on suicide watch. And so with that diagnosis, there was clearly a concern that he was having a mental health crisis. But rather than act on that, they put him in solitary confinement. We know that he didn't receive any medication. that he was not seen by a psychologist, psychiatrist, or a medical doctor, and that he ultimately was severely dehydrated, and that blood clots formed in his body as a result of the severe dehydration, which led to his death. And so this, from our perspective, is a case of absolute neglect. Some people under those circumstances, that is an excruciating way to die. It is sad and deeply troubling that he would go in healthy and then die of essentially dehydration, complications from dehydration.
Now, when we say dehydration, he's in the custody of authorities.
Correct.
Now, dehydration means to me you're not getting enough fluids. Now, that seems to be, he was in their custody. Would that not have been their responsibility?
It would absolutely have been their responsibility to provide fluids, to provide food, to determine whether he had the mental capacity to ingest any of those, either the food or the water. And if he wasn't, for them then to provide him with medical attention. And so the concern, and you know what family members are asking, is, are there any other instances where people have had their loved ones in Rockdale County Jail where they were not provided medication, or they were not provided water, food, or neglected in some form or fashion? Because we really are trying to find out if this, what was the motivating factor that led to this kind of death?
So you say the motivating factor. We talked to you earlier along the way, and you said that you had witnesses to confrontations. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. There are people who were in the jail who saw Sholly Tilson, who saw detention officers physically assault, whether they describe that as a punch, but they saw him being punched, hit. And so the question is whether or not those detention officers thought that it was the responsible thing to do, or they were going to punish him by putting him in solitary confinement. And someone with mental health issues, someone that is struggling, should not be placed in a solitary confinement. They need to be evaluated and treated. And that didn't happen. And that all of this occurred in Rockdale County Jail. And from what we can ascertain at this time, those blood clots formed within 48 to 12 hours of his death. He was in custody for about 10 days. So this isn't something that happened before he came in. This is something happened while he was in. And that, again, amounts to their responsibility, being the Rockdale County Sheriff and the Rockdale County Jail's responsibility, to ensure the safety and the health of the people that are in their custody and incarcerated.
What have you learned as to why he was arrested?
Disorderly conduct, you know, misdemeanor. They also had an obstruction charge. And for us, the challenge is, if someone is, and again, the police report indicates that he was acting kind of erratic, he needed to be evaluated. And this is, again, the criminalization of mental health crises and issues that I don't think we can afford. But we see so often in the African-American community where mental health is just treated differently, just like most afflictions are treated differently. Addiction in the African-American community is treated different from addiction in white affluent and white rural communities. Mm-hmm. And so this disparity in mental health and health treatment can lead to these kind of tragedies, which we now have a 22-year-old that wasn't here for his mother on Mother's Day.
Talking to Attorney Molly Davis in reference to the Sholly Tilson case, 22-year-old young African-American man who died in the custody of Rockdale County authorities in Georgia. What is next for you? What's your next move?
We believe that the GBI has to complete their investigation. We're going to provide them with documents and interviews that we have conducted so that they can follow up and interview some of these either current or prior previous inmates who saw Sholly being physically assaulted. So that's our next step, is to turn that over. And then our hope is that the DA will look at this and move for criminal charges. Whoever denied him water, denied him medical treatment, they should be criminally prosecuted.
Attorney Miley Davis, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Maria Boynton reporting.